8:07 now on Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Dalton Orwig. Kelly Finley's in here. Sean Sullivan will be back very soon. He'll be back tomorrow morning, back on Mobile Mornings. This segment of the show brought to you by our friends over at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett and the crew at 1-800-GOT-JUNK do great work in both Mobile and Baldwin counties. If you have a bunch of junk and you just don't know where to take that junk, or if you can't physically move it, let's say it's an old refrigerator or something like that, or if it's junk that you don't know whether you're supposed to throw it in the dumpster or put it somewhere else because of the because you don't know if it's dangerous for the environment, well, the crew at 1-800-GOT-JUNK have you covered. And one of the best things about using Trey and his crew is that you make your appointment and they show up right on time. They don't give you one of those 4 to 6 hour windows when they may or may not show up. You call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go to the website 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, set up your appointment, and they'll be there exactly when you're expecting them. And the price you get quoted is the price you'll pay. Everyone I know that's called 1-800-GOT-JUNK has nothing but glowing reviews for the company, including just about everyone here at FM Talk 106.5. So once again, to get a quote and go ahead and set up an appointment, call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. We're about to talk to Quinn Hillier, as we do every Tuesday morning. And one of the things we'll discuss is this missing journalist that walked into the Saudi consulate in Turkey, and this was back on October 2nd that Jamal Khashoggi walked into that consulate and was never seen from again. Turkey says that the Saudis killed him, and CNN report yesterday indicates that the Saudis will soon admit Khashoggi's death was the result of an interrogation that went wrong. President Trump commented on that report, saying nobody knows if it's an official report. The president says he's spoken with Saudi Arabia's King Salman, who, quote, denies any knowledge of what happened. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo will be in Saudi Arabia today. While Trump was commenting at the White House, Turkish crime scene investigators finally entered that Saudi consulate to comb the building where Khashoggi was last seen alive 2 weeks ago. Turkish crime scene investigators searched the consulate in Istanbul on Monday, investigating the disappearance and alleged slaying of Khashoggi, and that search came nearly 2 weeks after Khashoggi, who has been a Saudi critic, vanished after entering the building. Before the investigators even entered the premises, it escaped. No one's noticed that a cleaning crew walked into the consulate hours ahead of them. Turks have said that the Saudis murdered Khashoggi, and Turkish sources reportedly claim they have tapes proving that he was interrogated, tortured, and then murdered. They say that comes from recordings from an Apple Watch, and flight records obtained by ABC News show two private planes from Riyadh arrived and departed the same day that Khashoggi disappeared, staying for 1.5 and 19 hours respectively. The Turks allege it was a 15-man Saudi hit squad, but pro-Saudi media claims that they were, quote, simply tourists. But one thing is known, this has turned into a major diplomatic incident for all countries involved.
And 9 minutes ago on the AP, they actually have posted a picture. This is from Istanbul, Turkey, of Secretary of State Mike Pompeo smiling and shaking hands with both men. They say he was greeted warmly just hours after a Turkish forensics team finished a search inside of the Saudi consulate. Of course, they're looking for evidence of the alleged killing and dismemberment of the journalist. So this story is continuing to update overseas. Of course, they're a few hours ahead of us, so that's how this meeting has already happened in Istanbul.
And now we go live to Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com. We talk to him every Tuesday morning, and it's always a treat. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, y'all.
Good morning.
So tell us, this is a tough one because, you know, we've got ties with Saudi Arabia. They are a major part of our strategy in the Middle East. What do you have to say about this, and how does the U.S. navigate this this story that's been getting crazier and crazier over the last week?
That's a good question, because it's very difficult to navigate. Look, this is a horrendous situation. The Saudis have never been anybody's idea of a haven of human rights, to say the least. They have always been an ally of pure realpolitik, pure convenience for us, because they are a counterweight to other even worse actors over there, but they are nobody's cup of tea. And we've been able to sort of accept our dealings with them, accept their diplomatic advantages, and look the other way for years. Now we might not be able to look away. And what happens then I'm old enough to remember when, after the war with Israel in 1973, when there was an Arab oil embargo against us, and they get long gas lines, et cetera, et cetera. When the Saudi, when we try to do something to the Saudis to punish them, or we make them mad, they have the resources to make us hurt. And what Trump does, Lord only knows, but it cannot be good for our economy if we do something, but we almost have to do something. So I'll shut up there, but other than to say this is a real mess.
And speaking of the president, today when Pompeo was, you know, arrived there at the palace, he thanked King Salman, quote, for accepting my visit on behalf of the president. And then the two went into a closed door meeting. And about the Prince Mohammed that we're talking about, the Associated Press says that this is the 33-year-old heir apparent to the throne of the world's largest oil exporter. So what you're saying, Quinn, it perfectly aligns as to this being a serious situation for our country. As far as the president, he said, the king firmly denied any knowledge of it. It sounded to me like maybe these could have been rogue killers. I mean, who knows? We're going to try getting to the bottom of it very soon. But his was a flat denial.
Yeah, well, look, Trump is very well known for making excuses for horrendous actors on the world stage. The idea that these were rogue killers inside the very compound of the Saudi ambassador is just—that's just idiotic. I mean, flat out idiotic for anybody to believe that, and for any president to say it.
I think anyone who's never been inside
this was a Saudi op, and whatever happened, they even CNN is. I mean, even their report that says, oh, well, the Saudis are going to claim it was an abduction gone wrong. Well, wait a minute. An abduction? An abduction itself is a horrendous act. Mm-hmm. So there's no excusing the Saudis, period.
I was just going to add that if for people who have never been in a consulate or an embassy, maybe it's hard to understand, but you usually have to go through 2 to 3 to maybe 4 lines of security before you can even enter the building. So you know, that's why some may find this a little, the whole rogue killers, as kind of hard to fathom that happening inside of such a secure premises.
Total absolute nonsense. But look, the real worry is that, you know, we're going to have to do something diplomatically or economically or with sanctions to react to this. And this is a very bad time for it, because despite all the happy talk about the economy, I've been predicting all year in column after column that we're going to start entering a real economic problem area, maybe even a crisis in October. And it started last week.
And I do want to get to that. Can you hang on with us through this next segment, Quinn, so we can talk about the economy and the stock market? But one thing before we go to the break, I just want to, you know, one more thing on the Saudi Arabia thing. This is a nation... I mean, when we talk about Saudi Arabia's leader, we say king, and you got a prince. And this is a country that just started letting women drive vehicles this year. It's not a place known for its human rights, but it is a place that we have very close diplomatic ties to because of its role in the Middle East and because of its location and because of its oil. The big debate that I think will grow and grow from this is, where is that line where usefulness on the world stage crosses with the human rights that we champion as Americans? I think it'll be a really interesting story to watch, especially.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, well, Quinn Hillier sticking with us through the next segment as we roll through Hour 3 of Mobile Mornings. We will talk about the economy and what the stock market is doing right now. A whole lot more coming up on Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks, Kane. 8:21 now on FM Talk 106.5. It's 77 degrees at our studios. Still a muggy Tuesday morning. It's been foggy out on the roads all morning long. Be careful as you travel around the city. Right now we're talking to Quinn Hillier from the eponymously entitled QuinnHillier.com. See, Sean says that every week, and that's a word that I have trouble with, so need
that's
practice.
That's a toughie.
Eponymous. That's sort of like Equanimeous Brown of the Packers last night.
Big plays from Equanimeous St. Brown last
what a
night.
Name.
Equanimeous St. Brown and eponymously.
Right. And just like Nemo raised in a sea anemone. Finding Nemo. That was another one I had a tough one with. But we're talking with Quinn Hillier about something that's much easier to understand, the U.S. economy, actually. And I say that, of course, sarcastically. But, you know, we hit an all-time market high on October 3rd, and since then the news has not been nearly as rosy, Quinn.
No, it hadn't been, and I've been worried about this. I've written about 5 columns on this this year, predicting very specifically that October would see some serious economic unrest, and that if we didn't handle it right, it could turn into a crisis. And last week, the market was horrendous, and then on Wednesday and Thursday, it had already been bad the previous couple of days, but Wednesday and Thursday in 2 days, it dropped nearly 1,400 points. It picked up a little bit on Friday, but then dropped another 89 points yesterday. The problem is this supposedly great economy is a sugar high based on debt. It is the United States public debt is the highest it's ever been, other than in World War II. The private sector debt is the highest it's ever been, period. People have student loan debt, they have credit card debt, they have mortgage debt. And so if the stock market, you know, has this correction, the problem is there's no play in the economy. There's nothing there that can sort of be a backstop, because you know, the banks might get worried, start trying to call in their loans, and they can't call them in because nobody can afford to pay them off. So we're in trouble. We are potentially in trouble. And the fundamentals have been saying so all year long, and I don't know why nobody's paid attention.
So how long have you been calling for this? You said that you've been kind of predicting this drop this October, which you, if it continues the way it is, you would have been dead correct. But what was your reasoning behind this prediction?
Well, I started making this prediction when the Congress and President Trump, with Trump's cabinet members calling House members and twisting their arms to vote for it, passed just one of the most spectacularly irresponsible appropriations plans earlier this year. I think it was even in late January that I've ever seen, and I used to be on the House Appropriations Committee. Usually, if the economy is going well and unemployment is low and you don't need to do a lot of social spending, you can actually retrench. You can at least cut. You can either cut back or slow the rate of increase of domestic appropriations. Instead, they broke the bank. They broke their old budget limits by $100 billion, and we were already in bad shape on debt. And when I saw that, I said, "Oops, this is setting us up for a fall."
So the president, he has commented on the stock market recently. I can't remember if this was a tweet or a I think this was a tweet, not an actual quote from him. But he said, "I think the Fed has gone crazy. They seem to like raising interest rates when we can do other things with the money." Your thoughts on whether interest rates are playing a major role in this?
Well, interest rates are playing a role, but see, this isn't the Fed leading the way. This is the Fed responding to market forces that are already raising interest rates, and they're just sort of trying to keep up. And the president is dead wrong to talk about the Fed being crazy and or loco, which is another word that he used, because that tends to create a sense that, oh my goodness, raising rates by a quarter of a point is a crisis. It's not. The rates themselves are not a crisis unless panic starts because of it. And so that's why the president needs to, as usual, he needs to shut his mouth, because he's taking ordinary Federal Reserve actions and acting as if there's some kind of massive major thing when they're not. Now, that doesn't mean the Fed shouldn't maybe reassess after their next quarter point hike in December and say maybe we might want to slow down. But still, interest rates are well below sort of the normal post-World War II range, or post-1960 range at least. So they're not terribly high, but the president's acting as if they're really high. And again, all that does is it scares people.
What about our trade diplomacy around the world? I know we just reworked the trade deals with Canada and Mexico, but of course, in the midst of a major trade war with China, what kind of role is that having in the stock market right now, that trade war with China?
It's playing a terrible role, and that was item two when I made my predictions. I said, number one, the debt, number two, the president's trade wars. Look, this deal, this new NAFTA, this deal with Canada and Mexico, I'm with the Wall Street Journal, it does a few things that improve the situation. It does some more things that make the overall situation worse. I think on net, it's actually a slightly bad deal compared to what exists now. What we're doing in China is, look, not only is it going to raise the price of our products, but if we hurt China, China ends up, even though we're a big market of theirs, they're a big market of ours too. And if we hurt their economy, that sends ripples all the way through the entire world economy, which means it hurts the demand for our products. So it's a lose-lose to try to get into this trade war with China. And on top of all the debt we already have, which, by the way, China holds a great amount of, it's a recipe for danger.
And I know Alibaba founder Jack Ma, who he's basically the Jeff Bezos of China, he predicted that this trade war will last decades, and I'm certainly not smart enough to, you know, predict the long-term consequences, whether this truly will be good for America in the end. But could this end up well for us long-term, Quinn?
No, positively not. Look, nobody's saying that China has been angels. They haven't been, and there are things we can do to try to bring them to heel without going full-on trade war, which nobody benefits from. That's the problem, is when you go the economic equivalent of nuclear, everybody gets the fallout.
All right. That's been Quinn Hillier joining us on Tuesday morning as he normally does. And I want to remind everyone to pick it up now from Amazon or your local bookstore, the Mad Jones Trilogy. You've had Mad Jones Heretic out for about a year now, but now all three books available, right, Quinn?
Mad Jones Heretic, Mad Jones Hero, Mad Jones Agonistes on Amazon.com.
Yeah, it's perfect to check out, and especially coming into holiday season with tons of gift-giving opportunities, wouldn't be a bad one to find in the stockings. Thanks for joining us this morning, Quinn. Have a good one.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
That's Quinn Hillier. Check him out at QuinnHillier.com and at Quinn Hillier on Twitter. He's always posting his thoughts there. 8:30 now on FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings will roll on after this news break coming up in just a second. I do want to remind you the Ultimate Tailgate Giveaway. Find information on that out on our Facebook and on our website, fmtalk1065.com. A great tailgate prize package from Bailey's TV Inc., a 55-inch Samsung 4K HD TV and soundbar from Cart Doctor, a 2-week 4-seat cart rental, Old Time Feed giving us 2 extra-large Adirondack chairs, the Fairhope Brewing Company has a party pack of craft beer and merchandise, and Carrot Patch Jewelers providing team-logoed 14-karat gold pendants. That all in one giveaway package going on November 15th. Register every day at those 5 stores. Find out more at fmtalk1065.com. Thanks, Kane. 16, 837 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. So tell us, what's going on at McConnell Automotive today?
Well, I think one of the coolest things, Dalton, is we've been waiting for 5 years for the brand new Sierra truck to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, man, I want to invite everybody to come to McConnell Automotive that's in the truck market and check it out. And what's cool about it is it's got the only revolutionary tailgate on the planet. So you can literally just about make breakfast off this sucker. So you need to check it out. And it's just the biggest, baddest truck on the market. And what it's done in 10 seconds or less is created an opportunity for people to nearly steal a 2018 Z71 or crew cab. So we've got about 53 or 4 of them left as the new ones come in. So we are kind of in a factory-ordered sell-down of the 18s while the 19 models are coming in. And it's kind of the same thing on every GMC, including Yukons and Acadias and Terrains. So it's an October sell down, probably the biggest sale we've ever had, and we're just saving people all kinds of money, buddy.
Hey, those are words that I love to hear, Mitch. Well, thank you, and have a great day, and I do love the look of that new Sierra. It looks bad.
Man, you need to just Google the new Sierra or Google McConnellAutomotive.com and check it out. It is a bad truck.
That's for sure. All right, thanks, Mitch. Have a good one.
Take care, brother.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. I do want to remind you, if you haven't heard, we have a website here, fmtalk1065.com. Yes, we certainly do. And all kinds of great things to check out on that website, starting with the podcasts at the very top of the page. If you're not already subscribed to our podcasts, any of the places where you can get them, because you can get them on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and under their podcast. You probably already stream us live on TuneIn Radio. Well, now you can get the podcast there as well. And each hour of our local programming is added right after each show. So if you miss, say, an hour of Bill Finch on Sunday mornings, or if you miss Sip and Chew Now on Sunday mornings, or Randy Bergen's Southern Fairways Golf Show, or an hour of Midday Mobile, all of those you can check out on our website under the podcast tab. Pick them out a la carte and listen and catch up on all the local news. Right now, the three big things on the front page of our website: President Trump was at the Florida Panhandle yesterday to tour the damage from Hurricane Michael. He made his rounds in Florida with Governor Rick Scott, Federal Emergency Management Agency Director Brock Long, and Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen. And First Lady Melania Trump was there with him as well. They visited an aid distribution center set up in a parking lot that was filled with boxes of diapers, piles of clothes, and bottled water. And he and the First Lady handed out bottles of water to residents who came to see him and tell him their stories about the storm. He also took rides above the storm to get an aerial view of just the damage, the devastation that was left after Hurricane Michael. Also on our three big things, and we're going to leave this up for the remainder of the week. It's been up a couple days already, but our TV news partners at WKRG put together this great list of how to help, a guide on how to help with Hurricane Michael relief. And if you click on that link, it gives you all of the different drives and places where you can drop things off and what items they are looking for. Most of these drives go through the end of this week through Friday, and you can pretty much drop them off all day at these different locations. I know here in Mobile, it's at Nexus Cinema Dining, which is off of Bruns Drive. It's in West Mobile off of Grelot Road and Cody Road. It's kind of right there in that area behind the gun range that was recently put there. It's 7070 Bruns Drive. If you put that in the GPS, it'll lead you right there. And they're looking for non-perishable items. They are collecting items through Friday. And I know, Kelly, earlier you were saying Bayside Academy. They have a drive going on right
they
now.
They do. And also the fire station in Daphne as
That's
well.
Right.
We always try to make sure that our friends and family here in Mobile, they have locations where they can visit as well as across the bay so that we can get all that goodness, where needs to be. But just to emphasize how social media has really helped to get the word out as well, not just for people who listen to us on air, but hopping online, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and seeing the different ways and that you can help and snap a picture too, because what happens is when you see that, then you want to give just like your neighbors as well.
And that's what I love about our area. and we have empathy for hurricane victims. And it's not always just hurricane victims, whether it's flooding, storms, any kind of bad that hits a community. Our area has empathy because we've been through it. We've had situations maybe not as devastating to the buildings right. as what we're seeing now, mm-hmm. but we've had severe losses in our area, and people really respond great around here. I know last week Sean Sullivan and myself and you, we've been keeping up with people on the text line who were going into these dangerous areas, taking their own trailers.
That's right. Just because.
Mm-hmm. That's just what they do. Like the Cajun Navy shows up at each of these storms to help save people. We have people in our area. We have people that go and save shelter animals. We have people that go deliver water. We have people that go help with cleanup.
That's
and
right.
it's just amazing to watch our community come together. But if you're not able to get out and help physically like so many people in the area, you can get out and give. And you can, Kelly, you've mentioned it a bunch of times. Sometimes you don't even need to go out and buy these packs of water. I mean, it's great if you can, but sometimes they just need one of those Visa gift cards
right.
that are preloaded
That's
so that
right.
they can go buy gas or go buy things that they need.
Because when the initial, plea for help, it goes out, let's say on a Monday, by Wednesday, they may not need the original items. So, you know, giving a donation card of any amount will assist someone. And because, you know, I think I'm a big believer that on a whole, most people are good people.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, and everything's about timing, and if they have it, they will give it. So if you're able to, you know, that's a true blessing. Or maybe you just giving the gift of life and donating blood. That saves lives.
Yeah.
Also, sharing posts on social media. Maybe that's the best you can do, but if that means it's reaching one other person who can then help, that's what it's all about, is just being proactive and giving. Because, you know, for the grace of God, you're not in that position yourself.
Right.
So it's about taking care of our neighbors. I mean, we're all in this together.
But odds are you will find yourself in a compromising situation at one point in your life, and what you give is hopefully what you get. And
there
maybe
you go.
Now, I don't wish ill will on people that never give, but I do wish good upon people that do give. So just keep that in mind as we continue to help these people who have been just ravaged by the storm. But there has been some good news following Hurricane Michael, because we weren't sure. We have been reporting like right around 280 to 290 people from Mexico Beach stayed through the storm, and they only had a population of 1,000 to begin
right.
with. So pretty good number stayed. And with the video and pictures we've seen, it's a wonder that there aren't more people missing. But now that number has dropped. The number of people still missing from the city is now at 3 people, which is great news. Of course, we want to find those 3 people that remain missing, but for there to only be 3 missing right now after that devastation, certainly good news. The death toll, unfortunately, has climbed to 18, but rescue crews were worried that they would keep finding bodies in that Mexico Beach wreckage. I know even the mayor of Mexico Beach was saying that it would be a miracle if the death toll did not rise. So far, a miracle looking pretty good. Hopefully, they continue to not find bodies.
And I love the fact that they shared the stories of people who said, you know what, I've been through this before, and now that I've seen what I've seen, I wish I would have left. Because you have to hear that remorse. You have to hear that in real time so you understand that you have the best of intentions, but, you know, you cannot predict how strong weather can be, when it will be, where it will be. I mean, we do have great forecasters and meteorologists and all that great stuff, but let's be real. Whomever you believe in that controls the weather,
mm-hmm.
when he or she decides to make it go left when you thought it was going to go right, it changes the situation. So being able to hear from people with boots on the ground who say, you know, I'm so thankful to be alive, and if I could do it again, I would have taken heed to the warnings to get out.
Yeah, the president yesterday, as he toured the damage with First Lady Melania, the words he used while touring a neighborhood street in Lynn Haven, Florida, he called it, quote, total devastation. That's certainly what it looked like on some of the video and still images that we've seen. All right, coming back, Mobile Mornings rolls on. We're going to talk to John Wishman about the inaugural Police Chiefs Gala coming up on October 25th. We'll give you all the information you need to know. Speaking of giving, great time to give to the Police Chiefs Gala coming up on FM Talk 106.5.
The first annual Police Chiefs Gala will be presented by Airbus on October 25th at Fort Whiting from 6:30 until 10 p.m. to benefit the Mobile Law Enforcement Foundation and Police Department. The featured speaker is Michael Durant, inspiration for the movie Black Hawk Down. 12 of Mobile's finest restaurants will showcase their culinary skills. For tickets and complete information on the event, visit www.mobilelawenforcementfoundation.com. That's mobilelawenforcementfoundation.com.
8:52 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings, and we will talk more about that inaugural Police Chiefs Gala coming up on October 25th from Fort Whiting. We got the director and treasurer of the Mobile Law Enforcement Foundation in studio with us, John Weishman. But first, this segment of the show presented by the original Oyster House, an amazing Gulf seafood restaurant. It's been around our area since 1983. That's when they opened the original Oyster House in Gulf Shores. And that location did so well, they decided to go ahead and open up another one on the Mobile Bay Causeway. As we get ready to talk about our first responders with this Police Chiefs Gala, the original Oyster House, I mean, they are just doing fantastic work for our law enforcement, for our first responders, firefighters, paramedics, because this is the 11th year, okay? September 11th of this year was the 11th annual Never Forget Lunch. Now, this was established in honor of the 9/11 first responders who risked their lives, and also it's put in to recognize all the first responders for their services. David Deckel, he's the co-founder of the original Oyster House, he said, "We want to do our part to honor, thank, and practice what we preach, and never forgetting those who run into dark alleys, burning buildings, and toward danger to protect and save." And they certainly did that again this year for the 11th year in a row. This time, they honored an estimated 800 Mobile and Baldwin County law enforcement firefighters and paramedics. So just a fantastic job done by Original Oyster House. That's why we love to call them our friends here at FM Talk 106.5. And if you want to eat lunch there or dinner there today, or heck, any day the rest of the week, you can visit them online at originaloysterhouse.com. And I say that because you want to check out the menu before you get there so you know what you're getting, so you don't waste any time. Two locations here in Mobile on the Causeway and in Gulf Shores at the foot of Highway 59. All right, and we are joined by John Weishman. He's the director and treasurer of the Mobile Law Enforcement Foundation. And we have an event coming up in 9 days, John, the inaugural Police Chiefs Gala. This is happening at Fort Whiting. Tell us more. What do we need to know about this event that's coming up?
The most important thing is the public needs to know that they are welcome. This is a public event. It is the first annual. It's the first major fundraising activity of the Mobile Law Enforcement Foundation, Inc., which is a 501c3, so your donation price for admission is tax deductible. But this is really driven by the fact that this foundation, which can serve public safety in so many ways efficiently because it's not connected to the police department. It's totally independent of the police department, so we don't have to go through city bureaucracy to get approval and purchasing and all that stuff. But we're going to have a great event. I think it's going to be what you can call a star-studded event, because we've got Michael Durant is going to be our featured speaker, which you had some exposure to him earlier.
Yep.
You know, Michael is the inspiration for the movie Black Hawk Down. Not only is he going to spend a riveting hour on stage going his life experience, but he's then going to spend another hour down amongst the guests. So it's really going to be an up-close and personal experience for people. We've got 14 of Mobile's finest restaurants, full-service restaurants, going to provide food, everything from shrimp stuff that jalapeno peppers and cream cheese to tenderloin to you name it. It's going to be, you know, more than just your taste of Mobile. It's going to be upscale white tablecloth dining restaurants.
Your restaurants include Southern National, Chuck's Fish, El Papi, Five, Meat Boss, Wenzel's, Oyster House.
Yeah, you mentioned Southern National. It got the Nappy Award for the best new restaurant, and then also Briquette's is going to be there for the best restaurant by the Nappy Awards. But it's just going to be a great evening. We're going to have the LaFleur Color Guard is going to be part of the presentation.
Wow.
We got Bobby Oler and a trio coming from New Orleans for great, enjoyable dining and music. We got a full host bar, so there's no way you can't get your money's worth just out of your experience with Mr. Durant. But the whole evening is going to be something. And don't get scared by the fact that it's a black tie optional. Anything is acceptable. Cocktail attire up to black tie. It's one of those events you can dress up as much as you want, or you can be more comfortable in what we might call cocktail attire.
Well, and I'll go ahead and tell you, it's impossible to be the sharpest looking in the room, because your MC, the one and only Bob Grip, he'll be taking the stage. He'll be leading us through the night. That'll be great to have the legendary Bob Grip leading us. And it looks like, so tickets, $75 per person, is that correct?
Yes, and you can get them through the Hancock Bank, or the Hancock Whitney Bank now, and Synovus Bank branches, or you can go ahead and call 208-1947 and request some tickets be held, but you can get them at the door. We do encourage you to get them ahead of time, because we do expect to sell out. You can also go to our website, MobileLawEnforcementFoundation.com, and you can go ahead and get them.
Your involvement with the Mobile Law Enforcement Foundation is a big deal. Explain real quickly as to why you do what you do when it comes to our men and women who serve.
Well, again, it's because any city's budgetary process has limitations and funds to begin with, but also the needs of law enforcement and public safety are evolutionary in a sense. So after the budget process, something may occur. For example, a new drug comes into our community, and we need to take our vice narcotics officers to get some specialized training to deal with this new evil thing. This money could be there available. If there's something that comes in to update our cyber security, we can update our technology quickly. But the key is that we can go ahead and approve it instantly rather than going through the normal process of a city budget funded.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, John, and telling us more about this event. We've got a PSA rolling that tells more information. But if you want to find out more, MobileLawEnforcementFoundation.com or call 251-208-1947. That does it for us this morning on Mobile Mornings. Back at it tomorrow morning at 6. Sean Sullivan will be back.